AfterBuzz Atlanta After Show is back. Episode 8, The Club. Check us out.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah, look, the lights are going.
We got the lights. We got the whole club thing just is ready.
I thought you were about to bust a freestyle. The way you said, oh, I was like, right.
I was about like, oh, my name's Chaos J in the place to be. No, not
really. Okay, let's,
You start with in the place to be, you know it's about to go downhill.
It's definitely, listen, let's not be that stereotypical, right? Let's not, well, we have degrees here, okay? Let's do that. Let's do that and talk about that because it's the music episode. This is episode 8, The Club of Atlanta, Donald Glover. I think definitely one of his better episodes. I enjoyed this episode immensely. Maybe because myself, I am Tehran at I am Tehran across IG, Snapchat, Twitter, all the social media. Maybe because I'm kind of immersed in club culture for a long time. So I don't know. What you think about it?
Oh no, it was spot on. I loved it. There's a lot of feelings between Darius and Earn that I agreed with. And if you don't know, you should know. Chaos J all day. You can find me on Twitter at KAAOSJ. Shout out to Tio Baracho, who said I was the Usher looking dude that kept looking in the wrong camera. I had to get it out.
First and of all, Usher calling out people. Second of all, how do you know you're the Usher looking dude? Why are you so self righteous and presumptuous? Maybe I'm the one that looks like Usher.
But see, and that's very true. However, you weren't looking in the wrong camera.
That's true, and you definitely have an Usher feel. Like it's the smile. But see, if you shave, you have a little Usherness to you.
I don't know. Because no offense, but I low-key think I look better than Usher.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just saying. His money looks
good. These are my confessions.
His
you
muscles
do not.
Look good for some people, but for me, I feel like I look better than
Usher.
Well,
that's how you should feel. You should feel good about yourself.
Exactly.
Thank you, Alex, for that sound drop, because I understand where that came from. I get it. Usher is doing great right now. I'm not worried about Usher. But Usher did make In the Club in this episode.
He did.
Is about the club. It's a club. Donald Glover exposes and explores club culture, and it was very interesting. I spent a majority of my life being a promoter, event promoter, coordinator, big concerts, big parties, big events, right? And watching this, I was self-reflecting throughout the show, and there were so many gems and drops as usual. And I appreciated this show maybe, I think, more than the average audience would. But everyone that goes to the club will understand. Are you a club person?
Yeah, I'm definitely a club person. Now, am I a club person as much as I was when I was a little bit younger? Probably not. But I'm still a club person.
I mean, you
to go. I do. So I have to be a club person. There was a lot of stuff that they covered in this episode that I'm like, yes, I feel the same way. But at the same time, there's some other things where they got called out on, and I'm like, okay,
they picked on a little stuff. We did see the return of Darius, which was an amazing return because Darius played the part of Darius, as always. Mm-hmm. Darius was introspective. He was interesting. I don't feel like he was as philosophical this time around. I did like his actions, though, because one of the big conflicts was when he was leaving VIP, he made a connection with the bouncer like so many of us do. He even mentioned, I'm just going to go out. I'll be right back. And then when he came back, the bouncer acted like he didn't know him at all.
Yeah,
which was
right,
very,
yeah.
And it happens in clubs all the time.
Every night of the weekend.
It does. It happens to a lot of people. See, at the club has its own culture. It's its own world. And there's its own hierarchy and its own power structure. And people feel drunk on that power. A lot of bouncers feel a lot of that. I'm surprised it didn't show the entry, because the entry into a club is actually a bigger aspect. There was no entry. We started off already in the club.
Right.
And when we saw
already in the VIP,
in the VIP, basically. But then we saw that there was a VIP VIP. And we'll get to that character as well, because that was actually a very interesting dynamic.
I like the way you put that, the VIP VIP.
Because that's what it is.
It was on a whole new level.
It was. That happens at the club a lot. So we had Darius leave the section with the bouncer, making a connection, even dapping him up. And it was a conversation and a whole thing. And a conversation about, had he ever had to throw a bouncer out?
Out of the club.
And he's like, how was it?
It's hard.
It is hard because
he
knows
all the
bouncer
moves. Exactly.
So, Darius made that connection. And when he came back, The bouncer acted like he had no knowledge of who Darius was, said that he needed the right color wristband. Darius had two wristbands.
Right, he's like, he's got this purple. Yeah, his purple's wrong color.
I got a purple one, and then he had a red one.
Red one. Yeah, it's not.
I don't even know what the red one's for.
He's like, I don't need it.
And exactly, like, he did it. Because that's how the club works. Right. There's a lot of unnecessary steps and a lot of uselessness when you think of it in a tactical arena.
Not only that, but sometimes there's simple miscommunication. Like, hey, like, we didn't let the bouncers know tonight we rocking with the red wristbands. Or tonight, you know, everybody on this side is going to have this color wristband. So, I mean, sometimes there's simple miscommunication like that.
And it happens at clubs all the time. We see it and people get so frustrated. What we saw that was very Darius is Darius didn't get frustrated. He got annoyed and then he simply just left.
Yeah, he said, this is meaningless.
And that is a gem. And that was his few, like, usually he has more gems throughout. That was right. A few rare moment where he showed a Darius, like, introspective form of communication where he said, this is meaningless, because a lot of things that happen at the club are
meaningless.
Exactly. So he just left, and we find out later that he's already at home. Going into how Paperboy, who was paid to make an appearance at the club, he was being paid as an appearance at the club, how he felt throughout the scenes.
For me, I felt like he felt like chopped liver, or, you know, he felt second rate. I mean, I feel like that's how he was. Initially, it was like, yeah, we got Paperboy. And
no, but that's the thing. Right, actually, he read it off the paper like.
He got announced last, actually.
He got announced last, and it sounded like an afterthought. Oh, right.
And we got Paperboy here, too.
Yeah, and it was just like an afterthought, and nobody cheered for him.
Nobody.
So it was a little bit awkward, a little, like, silence, and then we saw why, because in the VIP was Marcus Miles, who was an athlete, a pro athlete, very well known in Atlanta, like, basically stable right. athlete, where everyone knew who Marcus Miles was, acting like the club athlete, the person who's just the king of the hill on a higher right. plane. That's why
buying bottles, buying the bar.
Not only did he buy the bar, he bought every drop of alcohol
in the bar,
and then he left. He yeah. left just to show everyone that he could. And it's something that we see people at the clubs close in LA at 2 o'clock at mm-hmm. 2 a.m. At 1:50, you will see someone buy 8 bottles, 10 bottles with sparklers and everything, knowing that they only have 10 minutes to consume all that alcohol. It will not be consumed.
No.
But they're just stunning.
Just to show that you... just to show you I can do it.
Exactly. And that's club culture. A lot of club culture is, look at me, I'm better than you.
Pretty much.
And that's what we saw Marcus Miles do. Marcus Miles was just up there. He had the fly hat and he had girls everywhere. And Paperboy spent a lot of his time just paying attention to Marcus. And in his heart, feeling some type of way. There was a lot of jealousy. Angst. And animosity.
Yeah.
You called it angst? Why angst?
Yeah, I said a little bit of angst. Because he already didn't want to be there. Like, he just wanted to get paid. At least that's the impression I got. He didn't really want to be there.
See, I took it a different way. I felt like he did want to be there, but because he didn't fit in, he disdained something that he couldn't control and understand. So while he did actually want to be there, because there was the bartender who played the part of the old, wise black man in this episode, the bartender, who was a young, beautiful female, said, no one's at the club that doesn't want to be here. And that's what we saw from Paperboy. This He was there when he saw Marcus Miles getting all the attention, all the love. He tried to disdain what it was, the club culture, the clubbiness of it,
right.
the aspects of it. He tried to be like, oh, I'm just here for a check. But he stayed the entirety of the time. And we saw at one point Paperboy didn't recognize anyone around him. And dismissed everyone from a section because he's like, whoa, who are all these people?
Right. So, hey, he good. He with me.
That happens.
Hey, who is you?
Yeah, exactly. Because that really happens. It does. It's like, who are you?
And then, like, how are you in my VIP right now?
But he kept the girls in the section.
Of course.
So for someone who didn't want to be there, he definitely wanted to be there.
Or could it have been making the best of the situation? Again, I don't know. For me, I felt like he didn't want to be there, but it's like, okay, you know what? I need this paper. I need this check. So I'm going to do what I got to do, and I'm going to try and make the best of it which is when he climbed up on, to the DJ booth and was like, yeah, who want to party with Team Paperboy?
No, but he did that to show off for the girl. And that's one of the aspects of club culture. So? 100%. Everything became a lot more interesting to him once there was a girl in effect. He saw attention. A young lady.
True.
And she became the center of his need to show off and have a good time. He wasn't having a good time before that. He wasn't involved
because
in club.
Because he didn't want to be there.
But I think he did. Because once again, if he didn't.
Once he got the attention,
everyone,
he was on.
Once he started getting attention, he loved it. He didn't want to be there and not be the king. That's what people feel like in the club. They have to stand on the couch to be higher and let everyone see them. It's a showboat atmosphere, a showboat culture.
All day.
Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Yeah. I'm having fun. Look at me. And a lot of it has to do with a key point. Marcus Miles brought his pet peacock to the club.
The hat on the leather coat.
Exactly. But the trick of that is, Marcus Miles was the peacock. He's peacocking for everyone around.
Oh.
Look at me. That was the little bit of, once again, the little bit of philosophy. Why is it a peacock? Right. Why couldn't it be another? Because he was actually, I felt, peacocking for the rest of the club. Look at me.
Yeah. No, that's a good perspective.
Yeah, it was like a metaphor.
I didn't catch that. I just felt like, okay, he brought his little stick.
To be wild.
His little gimmick.
And
right,
that's what
like,
people
oh,
do.
I got a peacock. Who else got a peacock with a leather coat?
And you know what? He was the peacock in a leather coat. He was wearing a leather coat at the time. And he was peacocking for all the girls around him. And they were paying attention, including. And here's the funny thing. Even the guys in the club were paying attention to him.
Yeah.
There was a photographer who didn't want to take a picture of Paperboy.
Right.
Because he was like, I'm more interested in what's going on with Marcus Miles and the peacock and the things that's going on.
Right.
And took a quick picture of his shoes and then kept it moving.
Some fresh shoes, man.
Boom.
Right. And then kept it moving.
And that's the way the club is set up. The club is kind of set up, and they explained it in the situation with the young ladies. The bartender explained there was a promoter who had two bands, four girls. Why? To make two of them feel special, because that's the club culture. It's to make people feel special. You feel special when you go into a behind the ropes marked VIP. You feel special when you just walk in. The club is set up to be like, what are you really doing? Just hanging out with your own friends, listening to music. You could do that anywhere. You could do that in the car. You could do that at home. But what do people go to the club for? Because they go to show off for other people and
feel special.
And exactly, they want to feel. Everyone wants to feel special sometime. The bartender lady definitely said that. So we have this dynamic where it's like everyone's trying to feel unique and special and powerful.
And look at me.
Exactly.
See what I'm doing.
And even though you're very powerless at the club because it's got its own rules and laws and it's its own universe. So we see a powerless Paperboy and he's not used to feeling that, right? And then we see a very motivated Earn. Earn trying to catch his paper, get his paper, get his just dues, get paid by the ever elusive promoter.
Chris.
Yo, and Chris was slippery. What
he
do you call
was
him?
A slippery mother sucker.
Yeah, that's what he said. He's like, he's just slippery. He was, and the best one was when he was standing at the bar, Earn turns to take a shot and turns back and the wall revolves.
Turns around. Oh, man, I lost it because he just... It's backed away.
Because he knew. And you know what's funny? As a promoter, I understand that because there are a lot of slippery promoters in the world. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of janky promoters. There was an entire movie based on the janky promoter.
Right.
Promoters who don't pay.
Right.
Exactly. As promoters that don't pay. As a DJ, have you ever experienced that?
No. Luckily, I have not.
Good for you, because that happens a lot. I actually had
Now,
one
have
time.
I DJed my fair share of events and not gotten tipped? And I pulled on a hell of a show? Yes.
Okay, well, that happens, but I...
But, yeah, no, I've never been shafted by a promoter.
As long as you get paid. Don't get... Exactly. Because promoters can sometimes... They're not the ones as much in power as everyone thinks is either. Because the promoter explains the clubs cost a lot of money. They really do. And promoters don't make as much money as everyone thinks. They see the glitz and the glamour, and they don't realize the bills that come with it. And a lot of it's just for show.
Right.
A lot of it's for show. So promoters don't make as much money. And who gets shortchanged? They're not going to shortchange themselves. They're going to shortchange whatever promises that they made to everyone. So when a promoter wants you to come to the party, they're going to always be like, everyone can get in. You're getting everyone in. Then you get to the door, and they're nowhere to be found.
Right.
And this is just this is a step up from that. I actually had a situation with Eminem and D12 one time where the promoter that I connected them to didn't want to pay them. And they went to the club trying to tear down the club, trying to get their money. And we saw Earn and Paperboy and all of them do that at the end when Paperboy went in with force because the promoter basically offered $750 for the service. That was the promise was $5,000.
Right, $5,000, and then he rattled off a whole bunch of, you know, well, we got the flyers, we got the extra security because Paperboy's a thug. Yeah,
that's just a real concern. I get that concern, but a promise is a promise.
Exactly. You guys had an agreement. Stick to the agreement.
And he waited all the way to the end of the night. Now, do I think Paperboy was worth $5,000? Not from the crowd reaction. There was no actual pool from Paperboy's side. Marcus Miles was worth whatever money they happened to give him, if they gave him any. But Paperboy's appearance seemed to be just almost an afterthought at the club. No one was super excited. They didn't even play his music, which is actually interesting.
They didn't.
They did not. They played everything. They played Crime Mob, which was a club. Those were club bangers back in the day.
Yeah, they were.
So we saw a Paperboy. We saw a Paperboy not get his just dues. Earn reluctantly accepting the $750.
I feel like Earn, another reason I feel like Earn accepted that $750 was because he was drunk. So I felt like he didn't feel like he could put up a good enough fight. Because he didn't have all of his wits about him.
I think that was maybe a part of it, but it also, he's not the thug. He wants to be the businessman. What was he going to do? The promoter even said, I'm going to go get the heater. And that's when Earn really backed away. Earn was very persistent up to that point, following him into the bathroom, following him through the crowd, following him wherever he was getting lost. Right. But then, when it came time to thug it out, Earn's not the thug.
Yeah,
but Paperboy has shown himself to be a bit of a thug.
He handled himself nicely.
Well, I mean, he went in there and he took by force, which was something that was promised him and in his mind, rightfully his. To which, at that point, we had saw Paperboy not be a star.
Right.
Paperboy wasn't a star at the club. He didn't know how to act like a star. There's a certain demeanor and way that stars present themselves, especially at nightclubs, the way they act. Paperboy wasn't doing that. But then after he beat up the promoter turned around and said, that boy's
going to be a star.
Exactly. And then he called the police.
Right. Well, and then remember, too, if we jump all the way back to the Bieber episode, when the lady said, like, you know, they don't want you to be a nice guy. Mm. They want you to be a gangster or be a thug.
Be a gangster. Right. So you're a gangster rapper.
Exactly.
Be that.
And exactly.
This plays into that.
All day.
That's why when they were videotaping it and we were watching it, the BHL panel people were like, no, don't, why are you videotaping? I'm like, no, because this is going to heighten his fame and popularity.
Oh yeah. TMZ.
Negative publicity is good publicity.
There's no such thing as bad publicity.
Especially
really.
If you're the negative. If you're the villain, be the villain.
Right.
That's what it is. There was a time when 50 Cent was the villain all the time. And we loved watching 50 Cent do villainous things.
Right.
And so this was like a Paperboy's moment. He took the money, he punched the promoter, took the beer. Like it was a gangster moment.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty thug.
He found out how gangster it was when he saw it on the news. Because at the end of the club, as most clubs unfortunately happen on urban night, and that we all know that really just means black night, when it's hip hop rap night, it got shot up. There was a shooting,
right?
And we saw everyone fleeing, and then it be part of the news. The news story, and the news story also mentioned how Paperboy committed armed robbery.
Right.
Allegedly, and is wanted for questioning, which there was no actual
armed robbery.
Yeah, there was no weapons.
He had no gun,
There's no weapons. He just went in there, fist in hand, and punched the promoter.
Right. And took what was technically, rightfully his.
Well, according to the at least verbal agreement that we had, right?
It was his. He was owed that money.
And this is what a lot of new. I actually got took by a rapper for a performance. One of my first times, rapper came and said, before I go on, I need more money. And I, as the promoter, I got took. I had to pay the rapper more money, and the rapper went on and performed. And it was money like that we had not agreed on.
Right.
This kind of thing happens in club culture a lot, unfortunately, where it's like the back and forth and the he said, she said, and things aren't always what they seem. It actually happens a lot. So I'm glad that you've never fallen victim to that.
Right.
I'm really glad about that. We did see another aspect of it is we didn't see Vanessa this episode. So we actually saw another female enter the scene.
Right.
A girl that we thought might play even a more prominent role in Paperboy as the...
Right,
as
like I thought that might be a new little love interest.
Yeah, because it was set up. She was paying attention to Paperboy from the get-go. Darius mentioned it because he was giving him a freaky look. And she didn't pay attention. So he was like clearly looking at you. He brought Paperboy brought them over. They spent the entire time there. And the young lady spent her entire time right next to Paperboy, flirting back and forth,
right,
having a good time.
The whole time.
Bringing it up, too. Like, oh, I met a good dude out of this.
Right, and, right. Like, at least something good came out of it.
Yeah.
And then shutting down at the end. And when he went to get on this phone, he said, hey, I'll be right back real quick. And he went to get on this phone. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, because I felt like he was going to miss that opportunity. Right. Mm-hmm. He was going to miss that opportunity to get the number and set something up for later. And then he catches her. And then she's like, oh, yeah, you know, something. It was good hanging out. And he's like, oh. I was like, yeah, but I got a boyfriend. And I'm just like, wow.
She said, follow me on Instagram. And because Instagram is the new. IG is the new. It goes down in the DM.
It does go down in the DM.
It didn't look like it was going to go down
for
Paperboy.
It's like, oh, yeah. She's like, oh, I'll check out your music on SoundCloud.
SoundCloud. Wow.
Right. But you know what, though? In that moment, I could instantly relate. Because I remember once, and this is not in the club, but I was in the mall. I was in the mall with my homeboy. And this was right around, like, I maybe been in Cali for, like, 2 months at that point. Like, I was new to Cali.
Okay.
And I'm in the mall, and there's this chick, and she's working at the little jewelry kiosk in the middle of the mall. And where we were going from the different stores, we had to pass by her, like, at least 3 or 4 times. And the whole time, she's making eyes and smiling and all that. Excuse me. So I'm thinking, like, okay, like, she might be kind of feeling me, you know, like, she's watching me even when I'm walking away, and she's making sure that we make eye contact. So I finally go up, and I ask her, like, hey, what's up, you know, I'm Kelly, you know, nice to meet you, whoop-de-whoop, whatever, and, you know, I'm like, you know, we should get together sometime, we should hang out, can I get your number? You can have my email.
That's real. That's real,
and that's real. And you know what's really real? Because most dudes were like, oh, no, I don't want your number or I don't want your email. No, I took the email.
Of course
yeah,
you did.
That's,
did
yeah,
you
that's
email her?
That was the simp in me. Yeah,
did
actually
it work?
I did. No, it did not.
The email bounced back?
Email twice.
Oh, my gosh. So it happens. And it's actually an interesting fact to note that a lot of girls have to put aside guys or push them back by saying things like I have a boyfriend, even if they don't.
Exactly.
We didn't see a lot of other aspects of the club, like guys grabbing on girls or things like that.
We didn't really see a lot of dancing, honestly,
because there is no more dancing at clubs. People really don't dance in clubs.
Hey,
they do not.
People don't dance no more.
People
all
don't
they do
dance.
They diss.
That's true. That's actually a real thing. Like, people really don't dance in clubs. People don't have the same fun that I feel like they did back in the 90s when people were making up dances and the kid and play. And even though there's so many dances that exist right now, I just see people doing like a few dance and that's it.
Yeah, just,
and people
just cool stuff. Just
spend a lot of time looking for who else is in the club and who's cooler and how they can be cool and what they can do to
exactly.
be cool. It's like they're looking around.
But there's a good. There was a point. There was something that she said that she were.
Who's
you know,
she? The girlfriend.
The girl.
The new girl.
Right. The new girl.
Paper
we'll call
girl,
the new girl.
Paperboy's girl.
Paperboy. Yeah. Right. So where he was like, oh, are you serious? And she said, yeah, but didn't you have a good time? And
you just
said,
wanted us to be girls at your table.
Right. She said, and isn't that what you came to the club? You know, isn't that what you come to the club for? So that you can, you know, you can hang out with pretty girls and have a good time.
And they did.
And that's exactly what they did. So when she put it like that, granted, I know he was irritated, but I'm like, damn. I'm like, you know what? She's got the point.
She does have a point. A lot of guys do go just for that because you can't go home with all 20 girls that are at your table.
You can't. Unless you're Leonardo DiCaprio.
At some point, you just want to have all those girls there just so you feel good once
right.
again about
you
yourself.
You have that attention. And then you're peacocking again.
You
like
are.
You said.
Exactly.
And you're flossing. And everybody's like,
rides.
Oh, damn, you see Paperboy?
Yeah.
Right.
That's exactly why you go to the club. And there are a lot of table rats at the club. Girls who just go around looking to get to the table, right? So when you have a lot of girls going around, going to the table, honestly.
Thirsty.
There are times
I'm
that I
need y'all
look
to
at
drink
them.
Before y'all go to the club.
I mean, you say that, but that's why they go and the guys provide it. So it's not just on the girls. It's also
true,
on the guys.
True.
Guys are dropping sometimes, you know, rent payments on table. Car
not
payments
this guy.
On table.
Not this guy.
tables just to get those girls to flock. So it's a back and forth. We can't just say, oh, the girls are thirsty. The guys are even thirstier for doing this in the first place.
They're dehydrated.
Exactly. So a lot of girls, I also feel often that if a lot of girls just actually put in as much time and effort into working, and they would be able to get their own table and not have to do, it's the same amount of effort. Right? Like, it takes a lot.
And you could actually have guys, you could pick and choose, you could cherry pick from the men in the club and have them come to your VIP. And kick them out at your leisure.
Mm-hmm. And it's just interesting because the concept was the club exposes our own personal insecurities. Even Earn was called out. You want to be at the club for wanting to be here because you want to say it's for work and stun like you're a boss. And that's what a lot of people feel. They want to feel important. And it's not just in the club, but it's in the world. We all want to feel special. And that's the thing. That's a reality of the situation. We all want to feel powerful. No one likes feeling helpless. No one likes feeling powerless. And the club culture helps do that for a lot of people. And unfortunately, it's a lot of small people because we see a lot of promoters and bouncers and people who are regulars in the club life are people who honestly are the most insecure or the right. most powerless
and
in a lot of ways.
And outside of the club, they might not really be that big.
They're not. A lot of times they're not.
Like, that's their domain. Like, once they step out of the club, all that power leaves.
Yeah, because you're surrounded by so many people in the club, but you're actually very lonely. You're really by yourself. What did you think of the DJ? As a DJ,
I mean, he was all right.
No, not just how he spun, but his character and attitude.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, that was funny, especially when he said he bought every drop of alcohol in the club. As a matter of fact, we're going
to
shut down.
Basically, there's no reason to be at the club because there's no alcohol.
We're
going to
go home.
Because he did. He called it out. He was being on the mic. He was being engaging as much as he could. But that's where the DJs lie, because the DJ is the author of the night. They're the person who
pretty much
writing.
He's the party controller.
Yeah, they write what's going to happen. Now, one of the last things that we need to touch on is the fact that Marcus Miles, in the ultimate peacock move, had an invisible car that in the beginning of the episode sounded like
that's who that was?
That was Marcus. Look, he was just leaning on something.
Google let me hold it.
Yeah, so it looked
Google
like
let me hold it, for
it was
a day.
Supposed to be like a prototype or something. And then at the end of the night, after the shooting, we see a bunch of people get plowed over by a car that cannot be seen.
Right.
You can't see it.
All
because
you see is a guy sitting in the driving position.
And people are getting, because it's the invisible car.
Exactly.
That was hilarious. Once again, showing the comedic efforts of Donald Glover. We see a lot of it. And Donald Glover does something with his television show Atlanta that it constantly reminds you that it's a TV show. Yeah. That it's meant to be watched and not judged. And he does that, and he had subtitles when they were whispering in the club and he was thinking of things to himself about people's smell and how they look.
Smelling like a, what did he say? Like a Wendy's double stack.
Wendy's double stack. Now, I did think that the bartender and Earn were going to hit it off.
I
thought so, because there was a thing. And even when she passed him the note that said fire alarm, I thought it was actually going to be her number. It turns out to be the way to get into the revolving door, which ultimately led to the promoter's office and the promoter's demise at the end of the show. Yeah. So I don't even want to bother with predictions, but overall feelings on this episode. Wow, it was loud. It made you cough.
It did. It all of that.
High off of expectations.
Man. Yeah, I mean, the show was great. It made me laugh, and it made me laugh even louder than I laughed out loud on the last episode. But there's been previous episodes where it's like, you know, you get some chuckles, but it's still amusing, it's still entertaining. But this one, it really hit home for me, because I've definitely felt a lot of the feelings that they felt in the club, whether in the VIP or just roaming around or whatever the case was. So I really liked this particular episode.
Yeah.
And it was to the point where I wanted to just watch it again instantly.
Well, you did mention that. You did say you want to see it right again. I liked this episode. I liked most of the episodes. I'm really liking the show. I'm not really loving the show as much as I want to. And I'll tell you why. Because I don't feel that continuity that aren't the regular shows. But maybe that's something that I have to get over. It's like,
right, because the co-host D'Angelo from Black Hollywood's Atlanta show, he said
something
that.
Excellent.
He said, you have to look at this. He said, stop looking at it as a continuous series and maybe look at it similar to the Boondocks.
And that has actually made it and put it in great perspective for me. So thanks, D'Angelo. Raylan, Jeff, and Joel will have their own show on the BHL Network. This is AfterBuzz. I'm glad you guys tuned in for the AfterBuzz Atlanta After Show. This was episode 8, The Club. We will be back next week. We only have a couple episodes left, so make sure you comment down below. Let us know what you think, your thoughts, your perspectives, and however you felt as well. I'm I Am Tehran at I Am Tehran all across the board. If you don't know how to spell Tehran, it's like the capital of Iran. Just watch CNN. And of course,
I'm Chaos J, K-A-O-S-J, and yes, if you're wondering, I do like French fries. Who doesn't?
That's right. The Bathrobe Heartthrob is out. We'll see you guys next week right here, AfterBuzz Atlanta After Show.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.